This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brom, because like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because no.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Want to first say happy anniversary. I mean, happy President's Day, which is an anniversary of sorts for this show. It's not something I don't think our social media team is out there making sure you know that on this day years ago we had our very first draft. Andrew Filippone, our friend from Pittsburgh, who's a somewhat regular character on the show. He was a much more regular character when he worked here on this show. He was our update guy. Remember when we had update guys? We still do, but Zach's wearing like multi hats. We had a dude who was just in charge of doing the updates. That used to be a paid position. I know, right? Crazy. And Andrew was one of those dudes for us. And he walked in here on a President's Day, just like today. In my mind, it was sunny and freezing cold, just like it is today. And he walked in. Mike and I were sitting in this room that I'm in right now. Mike is away today and will be off all week long. And Andrew walked in and said, "We should draft presidents today." And we looked at one another and went, yeah, I mean, I didn't have any kind of a great idea necessarily today. NFL free agency and the draft, I mean, those things were all coming, but this is the middle of the drought, people. There was not the urgency to like pour over the 5th through 15th best ranked defensive tackles that there is now. This was not as much of an appetite for it. So Andrew says that we should do. I think you're right. And impromptu, we drafted presidents that day, and that begot numerous highly successful ratings achievements through the roof drafts over the years. I don't even have the ability to mention them all because there have just been so many of them. And again, the awards are overwhelming. But anyway, today, President's Day is where that all started. Anyway, glad to have you with us here today. It is President's Day, which means no one's anywhere. I don't even know. I got here in like 3 minutes from North Buffalo today. Not a lot happening. Let's see if we can change that. It's been a while. I feel a little at risk doing this on a holiday. But I want to do this thing. I don't have a catchy name for it. rapid fire telephone polling, 803-0550. I have a hockey question for our audience. It's preferable that you be a Sabres fan, but it's not absolutely necessary. I want to ask hockey fans a simple question. I will have you in and out in moments. You will not, unless you're looking for a lot of airtime, then this is not your segment. But if you have ever wanted to have your voice heard, but have it be quick and painless, then this is it. You don't have to ask me how I'm doing. I won't tell you that I'm doing great, though I certainly am. But if we get people filled in, then I will divulge the question. But I don't want to divulge the question until we start taking the calls. So if you are out there and are so inclined, 803-0550 is the number. And again, we'll plow through a bunch of these if we actually get them. If we don't, then I'm going to look really like an ass clown here. And that would be embarrassing. And I think nobody wants that. But, you know, I'll take what comes. Anyway, simple hockey question, love or hate are the answer options. And as soon as we get some people filled in here, we will do that. 803-0550 is the number. The Four Nations is going to be the focus of a lot of the conversation today here to start. Paul Hamilton's going to be with us on the back end of the show today from 5 until about 6:25. And, of course, we will pour over everything that's going on at the Four Nations and Saturday night and the three fights in 9 seconds and all of it. So we'll get to all of that as we go. In between, working backwards, again, Paul from 5 to 6:25. Dave Buchanan, who was with us on Friday to preview the Bandits weekend and the Daytona 500, is going to be my guest at about 4:30 to review both of those things. The Bandits split a weekend, big comeback on Friday night to beat Toronto, but they lost to San Diego at home in overtime on Saturday. So we'll get the rundown on everything that happened there with Dave, plus some observations from a very weather-delayed Daytona 500, which did actually get completed on Sunday, but just about 4 hours later than it was supposed to be. So that's that. Before all of them, it's the law, okay? We'll get some football in. Matt Perino from the Shout Podcast is going to be my guest at 4 o'clock, and we'll get his initial take here on the Bills' offseason path forward and some of the choices they may and may not have to make as they get things cranked up for the offseason. It is a kind of a quiet week in football. Next week is the Combine, and that, of course, cranks up draft season and will really be firing on all cylinders heading for the end of April once we hit that. But for this week, not much. Next week, we expect to hear from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at the Combine. Sal will be there covering it, and we'll find out what their reaction is to, well, the offseason in general, but certainly specifically to what extent they'll share plans with roster construction, guys who may be released, although they usually don't address that. But James Cook has been very public about his contract situation, and I'm certain that Bean and McDermott are going to be asked about that. What they say about it, we'll find out next week. So anyway, that's the lay of the land moving forward. If you're interested in this game that's going on now and don't know for any reason, Canada is whooping up here on Finland. Through two periods, it's 4-0. So third period still to go. A regulation win by Canada puts them in the final and renders tonight's game between Sweden and the U.S. Meaningless. Unless the U.S. is just really interested in playing for pride and getting a like an international winning streak going with this pool of players to carry over into the Olympics, which, you know, maybe that's something they can carry through, but they will not. The game will not have any bearing on the standings should Canada close this out. And again, they're up 4-0 after two periods over Finland. That U.S.-Sweden game doesn't go until about 8:20 tonight, by the way. Okay, 803-0550. I asked for some people to call in quickly, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, and you've done so, and I appreciate that. As you hear people hang up, if you want to get in their place, please feel free to do that at 803-0550. The question is a relatively straightforward one. Do you love or hate the Tkachuk brothers? Mike is first up. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. Do you love or hate the Tkachuk brothers?
I love them, and I love that they planned it in a group text.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for playing. Dave is next. Dave, do you love or hate the Tkachuk brothers?
Oh, my God. I despise them coming in. Now I want their jersey.
Okay.
Love them.
All right, they won you over. All right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Colin, up next. Do you love or hate the Tkachuk brothers, Colin?
I love Matthew, and I can't stand Brady.
Okay, do you have time for one follow-up? Why the difference in the two?
Matthew's just been far enough removed where he's not as much of a Saber. Like, you don't see him as much. It's just Brady plays with senators is the main reason.
Okay, gotcha. His face is also more annoying, don't you think? Brady Tkachuk's got kind of like Matthew Tkachuk is, you know, he's definitely annoying. He definitely is petty. Did you see the little video of him going off the ice after the first period, cross checking McKinnon and then cross checking Crosby? He cross checked Crosby. I didn't even know you were allowed to do that. He was a deity or something. How do you get away with that? Gentle, you know, just sort of, hey, you know, just so you know, I'm here. But Matthew just kind of like run-of-the-mill villain. Brady has like, you know, evil Superman villain face vibes. He's just got one of those faces. So I kind of get it. Plus Ottawa, I think the caller's on it. Like if one of them were going to be more annoying, the one that you see more often would be the one, I think. But I find it hard to separate them. Although the face thing, I think, you know, maybe there's something there. Bob is up next. Bob, do you love or hate the Tkachuk brothers?
Absolutely love Bulldog.
All right.
Just real quick, if I may, the fact that they had a whole new generation of fans go back and Google the fight that took place in 1996 and the fact that it was their father, like, that's completely badass. So, props to them and the sweater.
All right, Bob, thank you. Appreciate it. I guess I'm not really surprised, although I do like the I love Matthew, hate Brady take. A friend of mine on Twitter, X, whatever, over the weekend said, like, kind of plainly, like, do we hate these, as a Sabres fan, do we hate these guys, right? I hate these guys. And it's one of these things I wrote a reply to, and then thought, I don't need to get into this. I'll save it for the air on Monday. Because, you know, I know it's a holiday. I'm going to be in here by myself. We'll see how these games go. And this friend of mine, I hates them both. And I get that they're not guys you enjoy seeing your team play against. But, man, don't you love guys like that? You do, right? We're in a very vulnerable place, too, with Sabres fans, because we're, you know, one of the last things we experienced as Sabres fans was their lack of a appropriate response to Tage Thompson getting headhunted. And so now we fast forward, there's like one game or a couple games after that, and okay, they're into the break and they're still in last place, and oh my God, my team is a bunch of wuss bags and I hate them so much, and all that sort of stuff is what we're left with. And then you turn on the Four Nations and it's just Saturday night and it's 8:22 and the puck is barely even out of the referee's hand and gloves are on the ice and it's mayhem, to use John Cooper's word, one of the coaches involved in the head coach, Canada. I love the both of them, and I've loved the both of them for the entirety of their careers coming out. I just they both looked like great ideas, and the thing on Saturday night can certainly put it over the top. If you didn't like them before, maybe you're reevaluating that. I don't know. Do what you think is right there. But I have loved them both. In fact, Zach, I think you were here. I know I was working at home. You were with us on the show by the time the Eichel trade was happening, right? Or were you not yet with us?
Not yet. I was with the morning guys when Eichel went down.
Okay. Because the Kevin Weeks Calgary trade tweet happened, I can remember being in my attic on the air. So it would, and I don't think that would have been on the nightcap. So I think it was during my show. I think it was a day that Mike was off, if I remember correctly. And there was this, you know, Kevin Weeks does this from time to time. This sort of cryptic, like, here's what, you know, this might be happening kind of thing. And there was, I haven't gone back through to look. I don't know if he even keeps that stuff up. He might have deleted it because it obviously didn't happen. But there was, I want to say, at least a couple of hours. And it coincided with me being on the air where Kevin Weeks was trying to tell us the Sabres and Flames are working on an Eichel for Matthew Tkachuk trade. And I mean, Brian Mazurowski from News Radio 930 tweeted something to the effect of, this is the best moment of being a Sabres fan in like the drought. Was the little bit of time. It's like when you thought Antonio Brown might be a Bill, if you thought that was a good idea, not a horrible idea, because he was a seriously concussed and brain damaged individual. This Tkachuk idea, like, had enough legs to talk about and dream about for at least a little while. Then the fire went out, and that was the end of that. And we know the rest is history. The Sabres made their trade with Las Vegas, and eventually the Flames traded Tkachuk to Florida, where he has since been to the finals twice, winning in his second kick at the can with that fantastic team. I adore that player, always have. Met him at the draft combine in Buffalo before the 16 draft. I think that's that draft, or was it 17? Anyway, it was definitely post-Eichel, and just a really cool idea of a player, and has had a great career, and is everything that I think we think our team is not. Which is a part of the attraction. And his younger brother is really more of the same. Brady Tkachuk is really, it's the same. It's a slightly different package. He's got the face, but like really it's all to me positive, and have loved them for the entirety of their careers. So seeing them on Saturday night, do that was incredible to me. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and you know, even predate Rob Ray and Matthew Barnaby and Bob Bugner and Brad May and the hardest working team in hockey and all of that. That was so much fun with Ted Nolan and the last days of the Odd. Of course, predating that, you can mention names like McGuire and Hartman and, you know, run down the list. The fighting in hockey for me had, like, my attraction to it, the appeal of it, has largely subsided as I've gotten older. And I it's not something I need in the sport. Because largely in the NHL, it's often, like, sort of staged nonsense. And to me, I have no need for, like, Matt Rempe, who's going to show up in the regular season and get everybody excited. And teams in their division are going to find big, tough guys to fight him. And then when you get to the games that really matter, they're not going to put him on the ice or in the lineup because they're scared of having him get burned. Because he's not a very good hockey player. Like, I got no use for that, right? Like, that era, to me, sort of wiped out fighting for me. And you know, you mix in all the concussion stuff, it's just not been my favorite thing. Saturday night was awesome. Saturday night is a thing you get out of the way with all the stuff I just said and just appreciate the passion and the rivalry and what the U.S. was trying to accomplish in that moment, starting the game the way they did. I give the Canadian guys a lot of credit because Brandon Hagel is not a player. Not that Tkachuk is known as a fighter, but he's a tough guy and can handle himself. You saw him in the playoffs with Pastrnak last year or the year before. That's not uncommon for him. And he's a physical player, and he will answer the bell, even going back to his days in Calgary. Not always, but, you know, he'll throw him. I don't know about Hagel. He's definitely not known, doesn't have that reputation. So credit to him for standing in there and doing a pretty good job. You know, Sam Bennett is more like Matthew Tkachuk. They're teammates in Florida. Bennett's been in the Odd scrap. It's not uncommon, but again, not a player I would refer to as a fighter. And he, you know, again, and Brady Tkachuk isn't really that either. That's what makes it so cool. These guys aren't fighters per se. They're not guys who pile up major fighting penalties in the regular season, but they wanted to send the message and show Canada, like, we're here for this, and this is a new era, and I totally appreciated everything about it. JT Miller and Colton Parayko, okay, good job showing up, Miller, but you kind of got ragdolled. But the overarching point was made and was definitely something that got hockey fans excited, because you don't see that kind of passion. It's just rare. That's why when Pastrnak and Tkachuk did fight in the playoffs, it was so remarkable because, like, this is reminiscent of Jerome McGinley and Vinny LeCavalier. Sorry, I'm dating myself. Back in the 04 finals was something that happened. Two highly drafted stud players on their respective teams. Captains, well, I don't think Vinny was the captain at the time, Andrew Truck was, but not, you get the point. When that happens, it just grabs your attention. It's not something that I was thinking about going in. I was not thinking myself about Keith Tkachuk and Claude Lemieux and Keith Primeau and Bill Guerin. It was not something, and of course, the touchstones are everywhere there. Bill Guerin's the GM of this American team. Keith Tkachuk, if you don't know, is Brady and Matthew's father. They were involved in 96 in this. I was not thinking at all about this being a repeat of that and these guys wanting to take charge of the game in the way that their father did and their general manager did back in 96 in the World Cup of Hockey then. But awesome that it happened, and just an incredible moment followed by a hockey game that was electric as well. I would stop short. I don't want to say everything at once, but I have some thoughts on the idea of it being the best game ever, which, you know, made the rounds on Saturday night into Sunday. But let's see if we can fire the phones back up here. It doesn't have to be rapid fire. We can, like, settle in now. I just wanted to get that out of the way to start the show. 803-0550 is the number. Mark is first up in a longer form format here in this segment. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
I appreciate you taking my call. I'm watching that game, and I have never enjoyed hockey. I mean, since Drury and Briere, really, comparing, you know, that level of excitement and anticipation. But then it made me so aggravated for this current Sabres team. Can you imagine the Tkachuk brothers letting Tage Thompson get hit the way he got hit, and no one does the thing about it? I was sick to my stomach after the game just thinking about it. Like, my gosh, our best player gets cheap shotted and everyone's standing around. Like, it was just mind blowing to me. Those lunatics, I mean, it would have been and it should have been a field day. I mean, it's open season for everybody on that team. And honest, I don't know. I don't want this team to end, you know, on Thursday. I want to keep rolling. Obviously, it's impossible.
Right.
But it's fun. It's fun to like hockey again. I'm going to have a listen. Thanks.
All right, Mark. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, I said during the course of laying out my thoughts on the Tkachuks and the game on Saturday, like, we're a little delicate here, I think, as Sabres fans right now on this sort of thing, right? Because of the timing. You know, you've got this best on best tournament with all this attention. The hockey world certainly is focused on it. And we'll see to what extent the sports world ends up and has been focused on it. The ratings have been very good. 4.4 million Saturday night after a million each for Wednesday and Thursday, the games between Finland and the U.S. and Canada and Sweden from early in the week. But primetime Saturday night, they were up near 4.5 million, which is just a tremendous number of eyeballs on hockey. But we're over here going, like, our team just sort of collectively turtled right before the break, and now we see, like, these guys who are in the Sabres division just, you know, having at it, and it does, you know, shine, I think, like the caller Mark was saying, a less than complimentary light on certainly how we're feeling about the Sabres team overall. Before I wrap up segment one here, it was a great game. It was electric. I was on the edge of my seat almost entirely because it was close, right? I mean, it's a one-goal game all the way through. All right, nobody ever ran and hid. Nobody ever
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Had the two-goal lead. It was a competitive, high stakes, not the highest stakes, but a high stakes game, and clearly the players cared. Beyond just the fighting at the beginning, the physicality was tremendous in the game, the speed, the tempo. It cannot be the best hockey game I ever saw. You can do what you think is right, but for me, I need more I need more swings. And that means I need more goals. I need more swings of emotion for it to be the best. If that game is the same game, trading goals, right, after Larkin scores to make it 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3, maybe even 5-3 at some point, but they keep clawing back. That, to me, is a better event, a better game, would meet the criteria more for – and I'm not the guy that needs – I need to have offense. Fans get bored. I just think from an emotional standpoint, with all that was at stake in that game and all that will be at stake on Thursday, if you get swings in the game, it's just way more dramatic and it just meets way more, for me, the criteria of the best hockey game I've ever seen. It was tremendous, and it has been a long time since I felt the rush of adrenaline and excitement that I felt Saturday night watching a game. But to me, just not enough back and forth on the score sheet for it to be the best game ever. Certainly was the best collection of players we've seen on the ice in a very, very long time. There's no question about that. The level of play, I think, is off the charts. The skill level, the speed, the physicality has been certainly good enough to me to meet the they give a crap quota. But best game ever? I don't know. I would balk at that myself. I'm a little older. I remember some other international competitions. I hope maybe Thursday we get what I'm hoping for. Canada is still up. Is it still 4-0? They're in commercial, but maybe they're still in intermission. Actually, I don't know. Anyway, Canada looks like they're going to be on their way to meeting the U.S. in the championship game of this tournament. Too bad we don't have any conversation about whether the U.S. should let Sweden win so they play Sweden on Thursday. That would have been fun, he said, hopefully with you recognizing the sarcasm. Want to mention, by the way, we're sorry, no stream today. Technical issues with the stream. So for those of you who normally partake in that and enjoy the chat room, no, I did not know Sal was going to Italy. But we miss you out there today and hope that we are back up and running very soon, by certainly tomorrow morning, if not tomorrow afternoon, with our show. We'll hit a timeout. Lines are wide open, 803-0550. Your reaction in general to this Four Nations face-off tournament, the Tkachuk brothers on Saturday night, 3 fights in 9 seconds. It should include JT Miller in that, too. And what you're looking forward to here as we move into Thursday and a championship game that hopefully will be one for the ages. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is on vacation this week. Matt Parrino on the Bills at 4 o'clock. Dave Buchanan on the weekend that was for the Bandits. And a wrap-up on the Daytona 500 at 4:30. Then Paul Hamilton will be along to ruin everything long form from 5 until about 6:25. We'll have Paul. And that can include your phone calls if you want to ask Paul questions about why he would, for instance, trade Rasmus Dahlin straight up for Brady Tkachuk. I mean, feel free to call in. Not just about that. Anyway, I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Now it's Larkin with a burst of speed. He scores! Dylan Larkin in transition gives the United States the lead for the first time tonight.
That's Dylan Larkin's go-ahead goal in the second period of the game between Canada and the U.S. on Saturday night. Put the U.S. up 2-1, and they would end up winning the game and advancing to Thursday's final. They have a game tonight against Sweden. This is the Four Nations face-off. Canada, by the way, is continuing to lead 4-1, about 4.5 minutes to go. Sorry at the end of the last segment if I confuse you. By the way, I don't know if the period's even going on yet. I was talking live on the radio while the period was going on, so I wasn't watching. When I looked up, it was in commercial. But anyway, the third period's almost over. Finland got a goal. They now have the goalie pulled down 3 with 4 minutes to go. So, you know, never say never, but looking pretty good for a Canada-U.S. rematch, which I think has to be absolutely what we all wanted, right? Like, we... I might be a little weird in that I don't need the U.S. to win this thing. I mean, we'd never heard of it a week ago, right? I mean, we knew it was coming, but come on. The Four Nations face-off, like... Is it prestigious? Did they just invent it? No, it's not prestigious. Yes, they just invented it. But, you know, still, fly your flag. You're happy. I don't care who wins. I just wanted to see Canada and the U.S. play again, which is why I mentioned sort of jokingly at the end of last segment, because Finland is going out like this and Canada is assured of getting to the final on Thursday against the U.S. Tonight's Sweden-U.S. game doesn't matter. If somehow the door had been left open for Sweden and the U.S. could have manipulated the result, I mean, they're playing Sweden, Sweden would be an easier opponent, you'd think, in the final than Canada. But it's not about the trophy. It's not about winning the thing. It's about getting that matchup again after Saturday night. That's what we want to see. 803-0550 is the number. Was it the best hockey game you've ever seen? I should be a little more lenient about I'm not criticizing anyone who's saying that. It's just that, to me, I need a little more in the game. You know, I need lead changes and swings of emotion. And you know, the game just did not have that. So it reached a very high level of intensity and interest for me. I'm not saying different, but best game I've ever seen. I mean, I just don't know. And I don't have a long list of the most incredible international games I've ever seen. And, you know, any game involving your favorite team in the playoffs, it just doesn't have the skill level that you had on the ice in this game. So, you know, I need to be a little more forgiving about it. We also are, I mean, we're living through a generation of people who have rarely seen these guys play like this, right? Like, who remembers, like, Zach, you're 25?
26, but 26. It still counts, yeah.
Right. Bill Guerin and Keith Tkachuk fighting Claude Lemieux and Keith Primo?
I liked seeing the video of Keith Tkachuk. That's
right.
About it.
But
yeah.
you got no idea that ever happened, right? I barely remember it happening. I mean, I was a full-grown adult talking on the radio by then. I remember watching that game. I can still see the room I watched the final game in, as a matter of fact. But for fans who are coming up through, I mean, we've had Olympics since then, of course, with Hasek in 98 in Nagano, Ryan Miller in 2010 in Vancouver. Like, there have been best on best, but it's been like half of your adult life.
Yep.
Nothing, right?
It's weird with hockey. Like, that's a thing I've talked about with the Sabres, where, like, I don't really remember them being good all that much. Like, I've got a few years in there, but I don't have the same scar tissue that a lot of people have. It's the same with this. Like, I was ready for U.S.-Canada, but it took, like, the three fights in 9 seconds, and I was like, okay, no, this might be good. And then the game itself
is
great.
Different.
Yeah, now, Thursday is going to be different now, where I'm going to be like, no, we're seated the entire time. I'm watching the pregame. I'm doing the whole thing.
Right.
It's different now for me.
Yeah. I think so. I'm trying to be a little. I shouldn't be so hard on it. It can't be the best game you've ever seen. It's possible. It's the best game. I mean, you're the arbiter of that, not me out there. If you think it was, make the case to me. I'm open to hearing it. 803-0550. I just would have liked to see more. You know, just more. More momentum swings, just more emotion that comes with goals and leads being squandered and the game being tied back up and all that kind of stuff. It just didn't have quite that for me. But it was fantastic. And this tournament has been, I mean, we'll see what it ends up meaning. I've given up, really, over the years, sort of having any real interest in growing the game and what's good for the game and, like, how can you get people's attention and that kind of thing. But with that in mind, knowing, again, I'm going to be here this week, this tournament is really capturing, I think, the hockey fans' interest at a very high level, if not sports fans in general. Again, 4.5 million people watched on ABC and ESPN Saturday night, Canada-US. We'll see what Thursday night generates. But there certainly is a ton of interest so far in the tournament. And so knowing Saturday, as it turned out, Sunday, I was up early and, like, oh, soccer? Oh, you know what? It's a minute before 8 o'clock. SportsCenter is about to start the cycle. And so let's see what's the lead story on SportsCenter. Just for what it's worth, this is something hockey fans for years, when hockey was divorced from ESPN, you know, how to fix the game. Like, we ran a factory of shows for years about rule changes, and the television relationship always came up. You know, OLN became versus whatever, NBC. We're back to ESPN, and one of the reasons you want that, I think, used to be said to me, and I've said it plenty myself too. You've got their attention. It's one of their properties. They are going to highlight it. Sure enough, yesterday morning, lead story on ESPN. Now, the NBA was in an all-star break, but they did have their dunk contest and the Saturday night, whatever that, you know, skills and whatever. The lead story on SportsCenter, 8 o'clock yesterday morning, was the hockey. Was the Four Nations Cup, and then again at 8:30 when they reset everything, which is how those shows work, that again was the lead story. And so they've got a ton of attention, and I don't see how this can be anything but good for hockey. You know, what it actually leads to is off in the distance and not something I'm all that worried about, frankly. But I love when hockey gets center stage. And even if it takes the fighting at the start of the game to sort of get everyone's attention, because they're there for a reason. And in a case like Saturday night, the players caring to the level that they did does mean a lot. Even if you think fighting in hockey is ridiculous at this point in your life, Saturday night, I think, had to resonate with you. I shouldn't say had to. It definitely did with me, and I'll bet a lot of people who have felt sort of like, you know, I don't really miss it. I don't really need it. It set a tone that was, you know, unmistakably positive for the game and to ratchet up everybody's intensity levels. Finland has scored a second goal here. It's 4-2, 1:40 to go in the third period. We'll keep you apprised of that as we go here. 803-0550 is the number. Marty is first up this segment. Hi, Marty. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, guys. Nice to be on with you.
Thank you.
You were asking about games that meant the most that you mm-hmm. look back on and go, wow, that was really cool. And I agree with you. Yeah, it's great to have hockey in the forefront again, where everybody goes like, wow, this is cool. Well, when I was 17, it was the 80 Olympics, and I worked at a Dairy Queen. There were men, women, and children who knew nothing about hockey but were watching this on the screen that knew the weight of the moment. And when it happened, you know, do you believe in miracles? Yes! You know, everybody was just, you know, embracing each other, and it was great. It was fantastic because it was hockey. It was cool. It was your country. And the other one I have to talk about, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My phone went black.
The other one I have to talk about was the May Day. The Sabres were looking for the sweep, and it wasn't looking like it was going to happen. And then, you know, people were like, let's just go someplace and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, the Sabres started to come back, and it was like, hey, wait a minute. We got an opportunity to do this. And, you know, when the May Day thing happened, again, an entire room of people, half of them didn't know anything about hockey, were losing their minds because the gravity of the moment. You could tell. You could just tell. It was so cool. And, I know this team we got right now ain't sniffing it, but that's why a good fan stays a good fan, is because someday it's going to happen.
I love the closing message, Marty. Thank you for that. For anyone who doesn't remember 93 May Day, I mean, you know the goal, you know the highlight, you know the iconic Rick Jeanneret call, of course, I think, by now. The Sabres had not been out of the first round of the playoffs in 10 years at that point. And they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs a lot. Just could not get out of the first round. But that broke that streak. And the caller's right. I mean, it was a big, important game for us. I mean, it doesn't qualify on the stage and the level that we're talking about here. But it is a great memory here, no question about it. And, of course, like Saturday night does not hold a candle whatsoever to the 1980 Olympics. But, of course, that's lifetimes ago for those of us who are old enough to have remembered it and lived through it. And it's, you know, nothing but something you can watch in fuzzy, grainy footage if you weren't around for it. Well, Finland got to within one, made it 4-3 with under a minute to go, but Canada potted an empty netter to make it 5-3, and we'll see if they can manage to hang on here after Finland had made it pretty, well, I mean, they got to within one, so Canada probably really felt they needed that empty netter, and they got it. So 33.8 to go, face-off coming up in the Canada zone. I'll trust that they're going to get this game to the place where you safely park the car at this point. I won't be tweeting that because I'm working. 803-0550 is the number. Matt Parrino will shift gears to football and talk about the Bills and his early look at their offseason and what the objectives for them should be this offseason. Matt's one of our favorites from the Shout podcast, does excellent work covering the team year-round, so we'll visit with him coming up here in about 20 minutes. 4:30, Dave Buchanan will get us the lowdown on what went down for the Bandits over the weekend. They split a road win on Friday night in Toronto against the Rock and lost at home in overtime to San Diego on Saturday. So we'll, and Daytona was Sunday, and Dave for many, many years was our motorsports guy here at the station. So we'll catch up with Dave on all of that. I talked long enough. The game has gone final. Canada hangs on 5-3. They will advance to play the championship game of the Four Nations face-off on Thursday against Team USA in Boston. Team USA will close out the preliminary rounds of this tournament tonight with a meaningless game against Sweden. Neither side has anything to gain at all. The U.S. is already locked in. Sweden already knows they cannot get to that game with Canada's regulation win this afternoon over Finland. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schopp is on vacation this week. Thanks for listening to WGR. Hope you're all enjoying the President's Day holiday out there. We're here. The lights are on. WGR Sports Radio 550. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schopp is on vacation this week. I will have Nate Geary co-hosting with me tomorrow and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. I mean, all bets are off. Who knows what could happen in here with me all by myself. Anyway, I am the Bulldog and glad to be with you here on this Monday, spending the first hour talking about the Four Nations face-off. Canada has moved on. They beat Finland 5-3. They get a late empty netter after Canada gave up two late goals to make the game pretty close. For just a moment or two. Anyway, Finland and Sweden are eliminated, and Canada and the U.S. will hang around for a couple of days and play Thursday evening in Boston. The U.S. plays Sweden tonight at 8 o'clock in a game that means nothing for the standings in the tournament. How is it a bad job for me if I'm not and all that passionate about who wins this thing? I just want to see a great game again. Like, I really wanted Saturday. I wanted both teams to do well enough in the tournament that they would play again on Thursday. That was really what I wanted out of the preliminary rounds, and we got there. I mean, Canada, it took some doing, but they did manage to get there. And I just give me 5-4, and I don't really care who wins. And I don't know if... I don't think I would feel the same way about the Olympics because there's history there, right? This just being a thing that they just thought up, it does not rise to the level of, like, you know, get the flag out for me. I mean, I know things are passionate right now between the two countries politically, and the anthem got booed pretty lustily on Saturday night in Montreal. There was a smattering of boos for the Canadian anthem before this game against Finland, but largely, I think, a Canadian crowd. We'll see Thursday with the game being in Boston whether that's different. I'm not mad at Canada for booing the anthem. I don't like that they're doing it, but I understand it. And so, conversely, I don't know that the U.S. has a lot to be mad at Canada about, unless you're mad because they're mad at you or us or the country or whatever, the tariffs. So we'll see if we get the anthem stuff on, because I'll bet there'll be plenty of Canadian fans in the building on Thursday too. We'll see if any of that manifests itself and ends up meaning anything. But like, despite all that, like leaving that all by the side of the road because it's not really, I don't really care about any of it. This tournament to me is all about just give me the best exhibition of hockey you can. And I shouldn't have used the word exhibition because exhibition implies like guys just going through the motions. And I think we know now here with the entire prelims of the tournament complete, this has been anything but that. This has been passionate, hard, best-on-best hockey, and it has met every criteria that you need for top-notch competition. I just am not really invested in who wins. I don't know if this is because one of my best friends is Canadian. I used to live in Canada part-time in the summers. I think it's mostly about the event, I think, for me. Again, I think the Olympics, I would feel differently. But like Canada just does not make a good villain for me, generally speaking. And this is not because they're all so nice and whatever. I just... the proximity, the similarity, the fact that they love hockey as much as they do. The best I can do is that I find it entertaining and somewhat amusing when they do lose, whether this is the Leafs in the playoffs or Team Canada in an international competition such as this, the panic that ensues and just how mad everybody gets from a distance, I find pretty amusing. But I don't go into these things like going, oh, I got to kill Canada. I want them to lose. But when they do lose, I find some solace in the way they cry in particular can be, I think, pretty amusing. But other than that, and like, I don't know if that makes me a bad person, so be it. I don't really have a horse in the race. I just want a good game, man. Just put it all out there. Can't wait to see what Thursday brings. We'll take a time out and pause on the conversation about hockey for now. We'll get into some football next segment. Matt Perino from the Shout Podcast will be my guest as we'll get his thoughts as we're starting out on a Bills off season here. Free agency, the draft, all of it. We'll pour over all that with Matt after this on WGR.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.